and unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Adding it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
All right. I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you. It's been a long time since I have been in this seat. Many don't know I started out at Berkeley Zen Center. But I didn't start taking vows until I went to San Francisco Zen Center. But I would come here early in the morning, every day, early in the morning. I lived off to 51st Street in Genoa. And I would drag my partner Simbwala. Then after a while, there was no Simbwala. I understood she needed to rest so she could get to work. And so Simbwala passed in November 2022. And so her face is not here. Her smile. And I usually will be sitting here. The first time I did a way of the mind seeking talk, way seeking talk. How's it called?
Way seeking mind.
Way seeking mind talk. The first one I did here, I remember Sojin Roshi sitting there, or Linda's now, and it just like, oh my God, you know, just like it was so nerve wracking, you know. But it was good. I thought he was observing me and examining me, but he actually was taking care of me, mm-hmm. watching to see if I was all right. Yeah, you know, I could feel that later. And then I would look over in that far corner, Alan. Always when something went, like I did something wrong or whatever, his eyebrow go up. And sometimes both eyebrows. And then sometimes it would get really funny when I got to the place where I had robes and I would get all tangled up in my robe and he would just be cracking up. And, you know, and that's what I needed. I crack up, he crack up. And the last time we were cracking up with each other was at the, I ordained three people in 2023. And I don't know, for some reason, I couldn't figure out how to get out of the Zendo. So I kept coming to the altar and bowing. I came back here. I think I might have did, like, it's all supposed to be three, I think. I think I did nine. And he was like, and I, he was shaking his head, and I just started shaking mine and laughing. We just both cracked up, and that's my last image. Cracking up together. And so there are many faces of people I love in the audience and here, and people that I haven't seen for a long time. You know, just wonderful to see and to be here. And, you know, I remember you. Don't think I don't. I got it. So, and friends and old friends. It's great. This is a wonderful place to be at a time like this in this world. This is it. And even if you don't know anything about what we're doing, this is a good place to be. This is good. We've taken time out of our lives to do something quite different than most people are doing in the world. And I don't label it good or bad. Whatever, you know, what we're doing is not, what they're doing is not bad, and what we're doing is not superior necessarily. But I feel like it's a good place to be where we can breathe and talk together and be together in a moment that you can't get out there. I mean, we could try. Even if we just got up and went to the corner, we could try it, but it would be a lot of disruption. What are you guys doing? Where are you from? You know, it wouldn't be as simple as what we're doing now. Everything is changing right here, right, at BCC. BCC is becoming something else. You know, the world is becoming something else. We don't know what. You know, some of our imagination is probably running wild. We probably could write a great novel right here with each one's mind of what might be going on. A very wild novel. Everyone write a chapter. I'll make sure it gets published. I know a lot of publishers. And then there's ourselves. You know, we are changing. We are being reshaped by the things in the world. We've always been reshaped. Things have always have been changing and becoming something else. And a lot of times that's disheartening. You know, because especially if we really love it and we're really attached to something that we feel is important, it's very hard for that to change. Things we don't want or we're not attached, so attached to it, we might even not notice that it went away, that it changed and went away. We might have had a happy moment and then that was it. But the things that are difficult and hard, we remember, we keep remembering them too, those things that changed us. So I thought it would be good to bring my teacher in, Zenke Blanche Hartman, and her book, Seeds for a Balanced Life. And sometimes I like to say I curated it, but I collected her talks and put it in a book. And so she did not write this book, and it was happening while she was dying. She was in a dying process in a Barbo. And so it was interesting to create a book of an icon in the Western Zen world. And I mentioned her, and you know, that's actually, she also started here at BZC and Lou BZC. So many people out there just found out Norman and Kathy started here. That's just exciting. There's so many seeds, but seeds for a balanced life. And in writing this book, it was, I'm not writing it, but collecting the talks, shaped me as I was reading, reshaped me with her teachings, her presence, her everything. She did get to see the book. And was very happy to have it. You know, she's showing it off. She said, take a picture. And I was like, wow, Blush, I never knew you as that kind of person. Because even the publisher said, we want to put her picture on the front. And I said, oh, no. She's not that. She's not going to want that. And so he said, no, we want to do the picture. Go ask. Okay, who are you? So I did. I went and said, Blanche, you want to put your picture in the front? And, oh, yes, I know just what one. I was like, I don't really know. No, you don't think that. I was like, okay. It is beautiful. It's the perfect picture. She was right. It thrilled me, actually, to see her be that way, because she'd always, you know, we're always trying not to, we're suppressing even our love for ourselves. You know, we just suppress it because somebody might find out we love ourselves. Oh my gosh. And so it was really good to see her excitement. And then when she got the book to, you know, she would take pictures, you know, I have one of those pictures with her smiling, laying in the bed. She couldn't even sit up. A lot of times I would have to go and just have her put her arms around my neck and I would pull her up, you know. And now I'm not strong. So she was very fragile and thin at that time, and I would pull her up so she could engage. And my Dharma transmission started in her basically hospital room. You know, that's where it started. And the people, the caretakers, the nurses, like, what's going on? You know, what are they doing? They had all these teachers, and everybody's rushing around. And we had these robes on, and, you know, they had seen people from Zen Center, but they're like, what are they doing, you know, in that room? And of course, they never found out, and you never will either. coming to that ceremony. And it was just, I knew my bowing was my last time bowing to her. Normally I do standing bows, but I did full prostrations. Mm. It took me forever, but I did them. Yeah, because I wanted to do that for her, for what she did for me. I loved having her as a teacher, and I loved teachers, having teachers, and have many. But I was the kind of person who wanted a teacher. I wanted guidance. I wanted someone to say no. And so, of course, she said that quite often. No. What did you do? What happened? Because I did a lot of things that she would say no to. I think I wanted to share her essay, Beginner's Mind. And this book is the first one. Beginner's Mind is Zen Practice in Action. You know, so we all go, oh yeah, you know, I read Suzuki Roshi's book. Yeah, that's a good one. I already know about that. So just listen to it. I already know all about Beginner's Mind. Doesn't that come up for you a little bit? How many times are we going to do Beginner's Mind? Suzuki Roshi, oh my God. In that book, which I didn't read in the beginning of my practice like it was suggested. I wasn't very good at taking guidance as a student. And I refused. I read it and I didn't understand it. Until I did a sesshin, which is a 7-day retreat. And for so I knew everything in that book from then on, from the cover to the end. I said, oh, I get it. You can't like read this book and know it. And I feel like that's why Blanche, she didn't, I was telling everybody the other on Sunday, that she didn't really like being called Blanche. And every time I say that now, it's like she's sitting next to me and said, I thought you could get, you know, I don't want to be called Blanche. So she liked to be called Shunbo, that's what she wanted to be called, or Zenkei. And people kept calling her Blanche. So people did start doing Zenkei quite a bit, but not as much. So in her essay, I'll first read the sentence that I think I like the most. It is the mind that is innocent of preconceptions. She's trying to define beginner's mind. It is the mind that is innocent of preconceptions, expectations, judgments, and prejudices. Beginner's mind is just present to explore and observe and see things as they are. To explore and observe and see things as they are, innocent of preconceptions, expectations, judgments, and prejudices. Okay, how easy now is a beginner's mind to you? And how long is it going to take you to get there? How long? When we start practice, oftentimes we get in there. We want to make sure we know how to be still, we know how to be silent, we know how to count our breath, we know how to be loving and kind, we know how to be non-dual, we know how to be, you know, all these things we read. And we can do it in 30 days. I think I can do it in 30 days. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be Buddha. And it takes us away from this place called beginner's mind. And eventually you understand that you're in a field that's unending. And there's no achievement, which is what I would tell my students all the time. I'm sorry, none of you are getting an A. And none of you are going to be achieved or accomplished all these teachings. It's just not gonna happen. So if you're, you know, disappointed, sorry, this is where it goes. And you want to hope that you don't, that it doesn't end. So what if our practice had ended after, my practice ended after 7 years. Whew. It would have been a real mess, because how long college? You kind of go maybe 7 if you do graduate school, undergraduate, graduate school. 7 years of Buddha, walking with Buddha, is just like nothing. You look back, nothing. You don't understand it. You don't really know who Buddha is, really, or Buddhism. So anyway, in
Zinke's book, she talks about, starts talking about this child who is to, you know, describe more what beginner's mind is, and or what she saw it as, you know, without definition, because this is ongoing. Remember just what I said, it doesn't end in 7 years. And she's talking about a child named Indigo that I guess was living at City Center.
Yeah.
And I think this child must, the way she was sounding like what the child was doing was probably about 10, 11 months maybe at this time. And they had taken an object off the table. They were looking at it and, you know, biting it, hitting it on the table. And she was watching Indigo do these things. And she enjoyed it and saw that as beginner's mind. You know, she saw that as, oh, this is what it looks like, how it feels, and before someone says, that's a spoon. You know. You know, and they're like, doesn't matter. I can still check it out. You know. And then maybe someone tell twice, two, three times, it's a spoon. But she loved talking about that. I love the way she tells that story in the book about Indigo. And I could just see it, and I feel like babies especially have such a direct experience of life. You know, they're looking at you, but they really like not looking at you who you think you are. You know, they're just looking, you know, until you say, oh, that's in you. They'll be like, you know, you don't care. They might even do that with mom, dad, you know, they're just trying to look. I didn't ask you for any information. I'm looking, I'm trying to experience the world, the things around me I don't, haven't seen before or met before. So when I first came to BZC, actually my very first time before I started sitting, I came in and this Zendo was exploding with people. Like it was like, I said, uh-oh, wrong day, community be new. And it was packed, all, we couldn't even get in that door. And Sojin, Roshi had already began to talk, so late. Oops, Zen, he begins to talk and he's crying, like full on crying. And I'm like, what a day to show up at Zen Center, Berkeley Zen Center, and he's crying, and people, you know, are crying with him, and I'm just trying to figure out what's going on, really. And but anyway, I said I gotta sit down. I need a seat. There are no chairs, so I was right in the corner. I saw this little space back there, right in that corner. I remember it's like a little space right here. Okay. Like I'm sitting on that, I have my Zavatana. So there was that space, but that is a great space, blah. I sat on it. And I guess probably Eno or someone, whoever's at the door said, excuse me, we can find you a seat if you like. And I was like, I got a seat. You know, what's the problem here? And he says, well, maybe you could sit over there, you know. And I was like, well, so I like this seat I'm sitting on. It feels good, you know? And, you know, people behind us, like it was three rows back there where there's just one row now. There were three rows, I was row four. That's how many people were in here. And I just would not budge. I would not budge. I knew, this is a seat. I'm gonna sit here. Okay. Then, I learn Orioki. I go to Orioki is our ceremonial way of eating. And I go, and it's like, never, never, ever sit on the meal board. Oh my God, that was like years later. Never, ever sit on the meal board. And I was like, and that still comes to my mind. I go, you know, my preconceptions made me sit there. You know, it's a table, it's a space. I can fit. I don't care. The other person has a problem trying to get me out of that chair. So it was becoming a whole thing, you know, and I'll just never forget it. So for me, that was a chair, was a meal board, like you see in front of you now, that wood in front of you. It's beautiful. It's a perfect place to sit. You know, you can cover it and sit, but you cover it up. Those who have difficulty sitting, crossing your legs. When I first started practice, I didn't, and now it's just harder for me. So that was, to me, also an inability to have beginner's mind. Why was Sojin Roshi crying? And everybody else? Koben Chino Roshi had just died, had drowned, trying to save his daughter. And everyone knew this beautiful person. I felt like the way everyone talked about him and the way people were crying about him, I even get chills. I never met this person, but I know this person through people's grief. And he died trying to save his daughter in water somewhere. And trying to save her, I guess, decided to go with her rather than let her die by herself. I never forgot that story. And I read everything Koben Chino after that. And I really love his teachings as well. And how he walked as a priest and as a teacher. And everyone kept giving him a zendo, giving him a temple. And he would just move along. He never would just say, okay, I'm just going to be here forever. And just, oh, thank you. And off he went. That's very interesting. But it was a hard story and a hard day to be in at Berkeley Zen Center. And I never will forget it, and how the chanting went and just the way it was held, you know, and the grief. And I knew this to be a place for me to be. I didn't know anything about Zen, you know, I just was watching people hold each other. And that was the most important, and still to me, it's the most important in Zen practice, is how we hold each other and care for each other and look like we feel like that too, not fake it. You know, I'm going to be loving and kind. And then you kind of like, I don't know what that looks like for people, but it might not be that for somebody else. So you have to really have beginner's mind even on that, how to be loving and kind. Oh, you're not loving and kind. That means you've got precepts. You know, perceptions. You hope you have precepts, but perceptions of how loving and kind looks, how being happy looks. Which brings me to the question I've been asking, because we're changing so much in this world today, is what would we be saying, or how would we be thinking of today's actions and experiences with a beginner's mind? You know, how would we talk about anything that you might even see on the news? Every time there's a big, situation, tragedy, or whatever, I used to ask my students to tell me about it. And sometimes they would tell me about what they read, because we weren't there, right? About what they read, what they thought about it. I have my thoughts too, okay? So I'm not out of this great work. I'm in it too. I have my thoughts. But what if we were to look at today's situation and with beginner's mind, and what are the possibilities? I would be, if you have some, I would really be interested in some of that when we do Q&A, if you want to share. Good. So, it's difficult though, because I think we kind of lose that beginner's mind, not so much far away from where Indigo was, 11, 12 months, because everyone's going to tell you what it is, right? And you're going to say, that's what it is. You know, this is not a bowl. But is it a cup? To some people, it's not a cup. It could be a vase. I'm going to drink from the vase. No, to some people, that it would have a handle if it were a cup. You know, so I'm doing this practice now, this beginner's mind, and to look and see you know, what are some of the possibilities that everything, that some of the things that are being destroyed, what does that mean? What are the possibilities? So I do read things. So recently, I think there was a TV program, maybe it was a news program, and people obviously liked it. I didn't watch it. It was a late night show or something, and it was canceled in a way of some censorship behind it. That's what they're saying in the news. And then the people who have been experiencing this as news people are creating this incredible network on news that we've never had in this country. Never. And I can't wait to hear some of what they're going to say and how they're going to say it and what they're going to bring. But yes, they were censored. And then what does censorship bring? What does immigration, deportation, you know, what is that? We know the horror of it because it is horrendous. It's horrendous. And everyone, in case you don't know, can be deported, in case you don't haven't gotten that part. They'll just figure it out, what you need to be deported. You know, don't write the wrong thing on Facebook. Don't. What is happening? What is the possibility? We feel we know, especially if you're very astute on the political realm, psychological realm, sociological realm. We got all of that down. I do too. I know how to do that. But what's happening on a spiritual level? What would beginner's mind, Zen practice, possibility say about what is happening now? We can make that a project in a moment. It's kind of like, well, I don't think I want to be in beginner's mind. I kind of know what's going on and I don't like it. And that's where how we are. We always want to know. It's very important to know, you know, ahead of time. For what reasons? To protect ourselves, to keep from being injured. You know, I had a friend would call me about, you know, what happened in the news, you know. One day it's something's, you know, a right's been taken away, you're gonna lose this money, you're going this, that, and the other. And I really thank you for trying to keep me included, but I don't need that every day. You know, of that kind of, because right now, and I don't think she understood, I censored her, right? But right now, I'm trying to stay within my single-pointedness, stillness, and silence of Zen so I can hear and see the possibilities. Because even if it happens, I better be able to meet the possibilities that will come for me and for others around me. And so to be over here, in the chaos, I can't help. And so I invited someone Sunday where I did a talk at Green Gulch to join me. Those who feel helpless, I need you. I need you to join in this kind of place where we know we see what we see, but are we willing to be awake to something different than what we think we see? That. Roll it back when you get the recording, you know, and that there is this place in which we see everything, and the darker it gets, the more we see, and we're amazed. We're like, whoa, oh, and then every time something, it's amazing, isn't it? How much you can see in the darkness and the trouble. And what do you have in your basket? We have all kinds of things, meditation, yoga, eat right, go to the doctors, you know, have all kinds of things. And to survive. And on a spiritual level, or just say Zen, say the word spirit, there is really discovering, taking the time to discover something rather than having a beginner's mind. And because even when you start, say, eating right, which I did, I was eating right, found out, and I was eating all these almonds, can't do almond meal, almond nothing. What's wrong with almonds? Oh my gosh. Pineapple. Always pineapple in my smoothie. Can't do it. I thought it was right. It's not right for me. It's right for someone else. So every recipe is not for you. You know, so when I get sick, it's a possibility. It can't be what I'm eating. I'm eating so well. Almonds and pineapple, you know, I eat so well. How could that be a problem? You know, ginger. I love ginger. All kinds of things. And maybe it's only for a moment. I have to go, oh no, but you know, and go into this whole thing, never have ginger for the rest of my life. I don't think I can do it. I think these things we're holding on to in our lives and in this world are things that are quickly slipping out of our hands. They've always been out of our hands, but now we really see how much they were out of our hands. And I think I am sitting here not to necessarily be a teacher and influence you, but kind of to join it in this movement of awakeness, to be as you were born. We were awakened, you know, in birth. When all the waking ones awakened, we were, and we know. But it's hard to accept. It's hard to say it's possible. Because we've been taught that it isn't. It isn't possible, but it doesn't matter. It's happening. I've been using a new word, or interrelationship, and because we talk about that a lot, we often think it's about us, the people, but it's more, right, more than just us human beings. But I've been using the word interawakeness, that is more important and deeper of what the interrelationship's about, because if we're in an interawakeness, then there's that possibility that you might see something. And together, that it's something totally new. It doesn't even fit in a Zendo. It doesn't even, you know, and then we'd be afraid. Oh no, is that Zen practice? You know, so you have to be really, you want to be at the root of your practice, but you also want your practice to be in beginner's mind. In beginner's mind. I don't know everything in Zen. I don't know all the ceremonies. I've been 25 years, and still, there's something new. Oh, Zenji, can you lead the Pure Nirvana ceremony? What? I never done that before. Dad just sitting in this big old chair. Like, okay, let's do it. Because what's the word? Yes. This is Suzuki Roshi saying. Yes. And then you're like, okay, let's see. There's no in practice. It's yes. And it was powerful, most powerful thing I did. Mainly because I didn't know what I was doing. not that I became something or something because I sat in a big chair. You know, but it was just that opening, that beginner's mind, the willingness to do the ceremonies. How many years, the first time in a Zendo? Or at Zen Center. Okay. Welcome. Yeah, this is important to know and to see it and remember it, this moment. And if you come back or if you stay 10 years, remember. Try to recollect. I do try to recollect my childhood a lot. Try to recall it, and I do remember things. And I go, oh, now I get it. You've done it, right? Now I get it. So, anyway, I really want to engage you all and hear your questions. And perhaps you even have some idea, you know, something you want to share where you didn't have beginner's mind and then you found out something that you wish you had of. Not sit on that meal board. You would have listened. Okay. We can open it. Thank you for listening.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for your talk. I'll break the ice. One of the most moving things that happened to me in Zen practice was to hear Blanche talk about Tenzo Kyoku. And that's about all I wanted to say. It really, really moved me and actually spurred me on to meet with her and come here and find my way around.
Very good.
Wonderful talk. Thank you.
Morning, Zenji Roshi.
Hi.
My name is Joe. You ever heard the story about when Sojin went to sit his sashin with Kobun Shina?
Is it a long one?
No. They're doing Norioki, and I guess Kobun Shina didn't really worry about forms. He didn't teach anyone anything,
yes,
you know?
Right, right.
And so Sojin just furious, just like, this food is taking forever. He just gets up, takes a pot, and just starts handing it out. And then he realizes, what am I doing? What am I doing? You know? I thought of that story because you mentioned Kobun Shina,
yeah,
but then
yeah.
I thought, actually, maybe that has something to do with it. You know, Sojin had this idea, I know how to do Orioki. This is taking too long. And he flipped it and tried to take control. So what I'm wondering is, when it comes to beginner's mind, there's one thing like, okay, I feel I can access that in Zazen, or just sitting, breathing, and stillness. In activity, I find it harder. And usually it's only in those Sojin moments where I done messed up, you know, like that's when I realize I'm not in beginner's mind. How do you find beginner's mind in activity? Is it only by messing up? Is it only, you know, only by realizing I'm not in it, you know?
Well,
yeah.
Messing up, you might kind of see it as a gem now. It's precious. Mm-hmm. It's not only by, it's just by seeing, you know, and it, you might label it messing up. But you actually are opening your eyes, or even heart, in some way. So when we say mind, we're saying heart mind. And so you begin to see mostly yourself. It's a really interesting thing to, I remember when Simbwala was dying with my partner, she wouldn't talk about death with me. That was difficult. And then she decided to tell her nurse what she wanted for her service and things. And then she was talking about it, and the nurse told me, I said, oh no, look, that service is only for priests. You know, she can't have that one. You know, you know that she can't get that. Zen's not gonna do that. Yeah. And so I said, okay, I won't say nothing. We'll just go along. I did ask Zen Center. And guess what? She got a priest goodbye, priest ceremony. I was like, wow, if I get one, you know. Because it probably wasn't going to happen for me because I wouldn't be asking for one. And maybe I won't get one. Who knows? We don't know where I'll be, whatever. It's not, it was important to her that she had that ceremony. And I asked for it, and they said, yes. I looked at myself like, what do you know? Suzuki Roshi, the phrase, it's not always so. And that has really helped me to see myself. So not to go, oh no, I messed up. But, oh, it's to see that mind that's so tight, so fixed, so judgmental. Like I was really having a time with the guy who was trying to get me up off that meal board. And I didn't even know him. It was my first moment. And this is not going to be a good place for me, you know? You know, and it could have turned into anything, right? But because I already had a practice too before I came to Zen, you know, it didn't get into something that could have been very harmful to the room or people around me or to myself or the person who was trying to help me do what the practice was. A practice I didn't understand. So Zen really will show you that, you know, what you think you know, you know, while you're practicing and doing the forms, and people learn the forms, and then police the forums. No, that I've seen people, you know, move people over here, trying to get them to do to the forum, and then I've watched people just do what they do. I mean, I was asked when I had a sangha, what forums did I use? And I said, pretty much what they use, what I was trained in. I said, but there's a few extra things. And they said, what? I said, I just allow people, they think they're doing what we do at Zen Center, but it looked good, it worked. And they started doing things that just don't do at, you know, at City Center where I was. And I thought they were just quite wonderful and just allowed extra bowels and in places that you don't do them. So what? You know, I just allowed them that, and it became the form of that sangha. Now the sangha don't even know what those are. I just allowed them to happen. So when they go to other places, they're like, that's not the way in their mind, right? You know? And then the other's like, no, that's not the way. So this one we get, that's when we're in trouble. Like we are now. This is what's happening now in the world. This is the way. This is going to be the way. We're not doing that. Like, none of those things are connected. So they're going to have to learn connection. At we're all going to be, you know, rolled up in it while they're learning, you know, because we're all together here, right? On the planet, no matter who we are, no matter what we've experienced, I think we're getting it now. We're all here together. Yeah. Thank you. I like the story.
We have one question from online.
Okay. Could you read the question to me instead of the person? Would you read the question?
I don't read the question, but I will ask him to unmute and speak it.
Before you speak, person, it's hard for me and difficult for me to speak to someone I can't really see and engage. And so I'll listen, and then I'm going to ask you to mute, and then I'll answer it. So I won't have a conversation with you. Just want to let you know, because that has happened to me before when the questions aren't read. Okay. Go for it. What's the question?
Thank you so much. My mic is on. Thank you so much. Wow, what a wonderful gift and a wonderful treat. I was actually going to show up at the Zendo today, but I had some other things to do. And so I turned to the Zoom app. And I had such wonderful and beautiful memories of Blanche in 2008 and 2011. When she came to the Gay Buddhist Fellowship in San Francisco, and listening to you and having a sense of your experience, I wish that I had more contact with her. It's difficult to find sometimes those who can lead you through. And your experience and my experience with Blanche, I could see very well how that could occur. So I just wanted to share that because I was so excited to, because I loved hearing Blanche. It was such a wonderful experience. So that's just the question that I have. Also, you know, the connection with New Orleans. I studied at Xavier in New Orleans, and it's such a powerful experience. So thank you.
You're welcome. This is why we have heirs in this tradition. It's this practice, the Buddha way, is ancestral. This is ancestral wisdom. Then a lot of people say, well, we don't do ancestors. I say, yeah, Buddha. He's not here. He's gone. He's an ancestor. And we do them, and we do chant them, you know, from various places and countries and continents. So the heirs, it used to be, I think, tighter, and this is definitely an opinion, tighter in the way that a teacher's teachings were passed on. So usually if you're a student of a teacher, the teacher moves on, and then you continue those teachings from the teacher. So I always hope a lot that my teachings are pointings or sharing is in the vein of Zenke. At the same time, you know, she said, you're really Buddha's student, not mine. Mm-hmm. And so she allowed that open field. And there's this way, like even in, you don't write your own teachings, your students write your teachings like I did here. And that's so others can see what the teacher from the past, just like Buddha, taught. And so I think she's accessible to you. There are many students. I forgot the number of heirs. I'm actually the last of her heirs. I was squeezed in the end. And I was just talking about that on Sunday too, but I'm giving the same talk and maybe I am. And that is the heirs, all of them were pretty feisty, outspoken, and you know, had their own minds. Definitely struggled with beginner mind, probably. Maybe that's why it's her first essay. Having preferences, which was always kind of my work, you know, having preferences. So she always would have me study faith in mind or trust in mind, which is a premier Zen state. And it's also on the back of my first rakusu, my blue rakusu. I just laughed when I saw the quote from that. Basically, don't have preferences. You know, make your way much more. You struggle more, you know, with having things unique a certain way. Have I gotten rid of them? No. No. Sometimes I think I'm worse as I get older. You're like, no, because you're worried about whether or not that's going to work for you when you get older. And so, but I do recognize it. And when I'm struggling, I'm pretty sure it has something to do with my thinking that I, what I know, and having preferences, you know, and I mean encountering others, you know, being in relationship with other people. And so, so the work is not to be perfect and to be able to, you know, walk in the world without any kind of, I guess, work, you know, things that we need to do. Work is a bad word for it. I don't like to call it a work, or let's say a walk. You know, each of us have a walk that we walk in. Sometimes we have a deep groove where we keep walking the same place, and that's okay. You know, that's life. And so to get in this practice, and especially Zen, to me, to feel you know better than others. And that happens a lot if you're in your first year or second year of practice and you start learning everything. And then you know, you're like sitting at the dining table with your friends or your family, you're going, oh no, they didn't say that. Oh, that's not right speech. You know, oh no. You know, you have all these different feelings, you know, because, and I always tell people, well, I can't do it anymore because my eyes are open, you know. So so that just means your eyes are really closed to other people and to... and not the, having the capacity to suspend judgment and suspend your preconceptions and prejudices and things like that, and to just listen and to not internalize it. You don't have to become what they think. And maybe that person isn't what they think, and maybe tomorrow they won't be that person that they think. I have seen people around me over the years who know me change, and it's just amazing. I haven't said anything. I'm just living my life. I'm just walking, and I'm not saying I walk it perfectly, because I don't. Because if I did, and if we did, we all did, I don't know why we're sitting here. Because, did you see how hard it was to get to this Dharma seat? I mean, we are here because we are ready to walk in a certain way, even though we're human beings and things happen. Things happen.
Thank you for your talk. Very deep. It's good to see you. Fond memories of Blanche at City Center when I was living there. You have another name, Earthlyn?
Mm-hmm. That's the name my mother gave me.
It's beautiful. Exchanging, sharing yourself with Earth, or sharing itself back to you is what comes to mind. So I'm having a crisis and a struggle with my own 12-year-old daughter, and so your sharing of, his name's Kobayashi, am I saying it correctly?
Kobuchino,
thank you. The story of him trying to save his daughter and going into the water, and you had mentioned that maybe he exchanged himself for her in a way, and we hear that in Buddhism, exchanging self for other. And I'm thinking about you're talking about beginner's mind, like he probably never thought that that possibility would occur, that he would have to jump into dangerous water to save his daughter's life. Like, that's beginner's mind. Like,
he probably had no mind about it.
Yeah.
At all.
But in Buddha way, it's like causes and conditions arose to that point in time that he had beginner's mind, and he probably, boom, he just jumped in without thinking to save her.
Or maybe he was thinking. What do you know?
Yeah, true. My beginner's mind. Thank you. So I'm just thinking about, am I a human being? I am, but I'm also an interbeing. And then I'm thinking about the tears, Sojin, when you came in and everyone was crying about it, and the waters are coming out, people's eyes are interbeing with the waters that took his daughter and took him. So thank you. That helped me this morning. It's not really a question, but much gratitude for your Dharma talk.
Yeah. So it's more like being in that moment. If we live our lives in the moment of discovering what's right in front of us, just as things are, you don't really know how you're going to respond. Yeah, he probably didn't know the possibility was going to be they both would lose their lives. There was this way, I think, in that story. We're not there, we don't know. Actually, a similar, a couple of weeks ago happened with an actor, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who was in the Cosbys, same thing, was in Ocean, saving his daughter. He died. The daughters live. And I don't know what is going to be on her mind, because I'm sure he was coming after her, and he didn't survive. He got caught up in a rift. And so I think this is why, to me, like, this, what's going to happen in the next moment? Tea or lunch, or what? What's going to happen next? We think we know. We think we're going to get up. And this is what the old folks used to say: God says it so, that, like, I'll see you if God says so. Like, it's not in our hands to get up. And so if we're walking like that all the time, like, in my mind, sometimes I'll get up in front and I say, sometimes I look like I'm being mindful, but sometimes I've forgotten what I'm supposed to do, the next step. And that's good. That forgetting slows me down, which I didn't think. I said, this is taking awfully slow. That's what it felt like. I joked to myself coming in. It felt like, when's this going to end? Rather than, this is so enjoyable. Bowing and offering flowers, which I did enjoy offering the flowers, and I got all into, picking them out. I said, now that is not what we're doing here. We are not doing that. You see how the mind goes right into, oh my God, there's Mary Jane. that's not it. It was just offer. Make the offer. And so it's all the time. It's every minute. It's every minute. You see your child. Every minute, see your child. Not as you think they are. They really will teach you. Change. Thank you.